Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. It's our membership drive. More about that in just a moment. Quick, what comes to mind when you think of pizza? A pie plastered with pepperoni, cheese oozing from all the sides, a crust that is buttery and thick or thin and crunchy. Your mind may also travel to Naples, Italy, the modern birthplace of pizza, or conjure up U.S. cities synonymous with a slice, New York, Chicago, Detroit. But don't you dare skip over Columbus, with its rich and delicious history. Did you know that Pizza Today magazine once named Columbus the pizza capital of the United States? Repeatedly? And there's the recent headline, Columbus is among America's great pizza cities. Here to tell us all about it and to make us hungry in the process is Jim Ellison, author of Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. Welcome to All Sides, Jim.
Thanks, Amy. I'm excited to be here.
So you have a well-researched book all about Columbus pizza. And there is no food more infused in the character of our city than pizza. So I guess I never thought of Columbus in that way. But what led you to that conclusion that you say that there's no food more infused in the character of our city?
I would say a lifetime of experience. I'm a rare Columbus native. I think Columbus is largely a city of transplants, but I've lived here all my life. And this is my lived experience of pizza. I'm also a former food writer. So I think there's three things that you can be sure that people in Columbus will have opinions about. Yeah. The weather, the Buckeyes, and pizza. So knowing this would be a topic people cared about and like watching years of internet discussions about pizza, what is good pizza, what's not good pizza. So I knew it'd be a great topic. I knew there'd be great stories. And it was something I really wanted to share with folks and really have them kind of have more insight and respect for this really unique thing that we have in our city.
Yeah, so Chicago has deep dish style. New York style pizza is a thin crust and wide, and it's meant to be folded. Detroit pizza is that rectangular pan pizza with a thick crust. So I want you to describe for me Columbus pizza.
Gotcha. All right, so combination of things make it uniquely Columbus style. It's thin crust, so similar to tavern pizza that you'd find in Chicago. It is a yeast-risen dough, so you don't just make your dough and throw it in the oven. You're going to let the dough rise over a period of time. It's cooked in a deck oven, not a conveyor oven, so there's a certain skill set, a certain heat temperature that you need to have in the oven. Toppings are edge-to-edge, right? So think about those images of Columbus-style pizza, Massey's, Donato's. You see an image of pizza, and you almost can't see the pizza for all the pepperoni and toppings on it, so that's critical. It doesn't really have a crust ring. It has a nominal crust ring or just goes right to the edge. The sauce leans a little bit sweeter. So it's not kind of like that really strict kind of bitterness that you'll find in some sauces on the East Coast. Here's the big thing. This is sometimes the most controversial part of Columbus-style pizza. It is tavern cut or party cut. We'll probably explore that more later, but it's cut into squares or rectangles.
I've never heard. Okay, the square cut. That's what I was waiting for you to get to. You were listing all those things. Okay, continue. Yeah.
So, yeah, that is, we talk to people on the East Coast, and that's the immediately causes them just to be enraged. It's like, how dare you? This cracker-thin, cracker-like, tasteless pizzas cut into squares. That's like, how dare you, right? This rage comes from that. Our pizza is going to lean towards provolone or a provolone mozzarella mix instead of mozzarella cheese. And it's subtle, but you get a distinct flavor that comes from that. And the other thing that is very much a Columbus thing and has been for many decades is our love of pepperoni, right? Mm. Pepperoni is the top topping nationwide, but Columbus was really the first place where pepperoni was a dominant topping. And again, when you look at pizzas that we have in town that are very proud of, we have 100 or 150 slices of pepperoni on our pizza.
Yeah.
It is very much a Columbus thing.
Okay. Wow. Well, this is our membership drive on 89.7 NPR News, and we have two wonderful thank you gifts to tell you about today. The first is a great book written by our guest. For nearly a century, Columbus has been serving up pizza by the tray and by the slice. And in the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History, author Jim Ellison tells the story of the city's signature style. From the 1930s roots to its rise to a national standout. This book is 160 pages of local flavor and history. Get yours today when you support WOSU. Start a sustaining gift of $10 a month at WOSU.org. The second gift we're offering is that you get the book I was just talking about, plus you get the opportunity to take a special pizza tour. This is your WOSU pizza package, and it brings the pizza experience to life. You'll get a gift card to Columbus Food Adventures, good for two on an Italian village pizza tour. And you'll get a copy of the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History by Jim Ellison. Discover how a century of local tradition shaped Columbus into a pizza capital. For the pizza food tour, you'll be on a walking tour of Italian Village and the Short North. You'll start in Italian Village, the origin of some of the most well-known names in pizza in Columbus today, and then you'll head to the Short North and you'll enjoy several local independent pizza places. And you will be led on this experience by an experienced guide. So, that is a gift card for the Columbus Food Adventures Pizza Tour and a copy of the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. Start your sustaining gift today at $15 a month and get that great pizza package at WOSU.org. And remember that listeners across our community are stepping up to support WOSU right now, choosing to give monthly so the service stays strong and reliable. When you join them as a sustainer, you become a part of what makes everything you hear on the radio possible. So make a gift today at WOSU.org. So, Jim, I wanted to get back to that square cut thing, because I thought you were going to, you know, you listed off all of those right. different styles with Columbus pizza. Mm-hmm. I thought it was much more simple than that. Yeah. I thought it was just the square cut. Am I just naive?
You're not naive. Yours is the shared experience of most people that live in Columbus and actually the country.
Yeah.
So, but it's all these combination of things that come together. So I think for pizza, a lot of people, it's like beer. So for some people, beer is beer.
Okay.
For other people, it's like, well, there's ales and lagers. And then there's those people that are really detailed and they can tell you all the different types of IPAs that exist, right? So this kind of definition of Columbus pizza is kind of lives in that space in between the folks that are very detailed about all the varieties of IPAs. And just it's something that there's subtle things that make it different, but they are special and unique. So the cousin of Columbus-style pizza is Chicago Tavern-style pizza.
Okay.
So very similar, looks similar if you're just looking at it, but tasting it side by side, it's very different.
So that's different than deep dish.
Like, exactly, yeah. Okay. And residents of Chicago would tell you that deep dish pizza is for the tourists, and the tavern style, which they just don't call it tavern style in Chicago, they just call it pizza, is like, this is the real Chicago pizza. So again, very similar. I believe they're definitely cousins, Chicago and Columbus, but I really feel that Chicago tavern style pizza was a strong influence on what Columbus style is, in part because of Jimmy Massey, Massey's Pizza, grew up in Chicago, lived there for 40 years. He was a baker. He had several friends that had pizzerias. So I think that's where part of the influence comes.
Okay. So I also found out from you, because I didn't know this, that Columbus-style pizza now has its own Wikipedia page.
Yes.
So that makes it legit, right?
If it's on the internet or the radio, it's true.
Of course. Right. Yes. So what does that mean? It's if you type in Columbus-style pizza, now you can go to this Wikipedia page. Does it, I read it over. It explains it the way you just did. Yeah. I mean, all the different steps to it. Did you write the page?
I did not write the page. I've been accused of that. I am cited frequently in the page, but I'm not responsible for it. I don't know who is, but I thank them for that.
Yeah.
Because this has been a very contentious discussion for 5 or 10 years. If you like, anytime an article comes out, so you referenced, I think, the Food and Wine article that came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. There was a great one from Eater also within the last couple months. New York Post had an article about Columbus-style pizza, which just the rage just like came through. Like, how dare they call Columbus the great pizza city? Like, that's not good pizza. But we need this definition of it so you can tell Columbus-style pizza from something else. It is something special. I feel it's an endangered species, and I want to preserve it because it's the story of kind of like, I think local radio is important. I think local restaurants are important too. And we really need to respect the differences and the hard work that's required to make this style of pizza because it's special and unique to Columbus.
Why is it an endangered species?
It is more labor intensive to make a Columbus-style pizza over a standard generic pizza.
Okay.
These are independent businesses that are in their second or third generation. And we know, especially in the restaurant industry, but for any type of business, they don't typically make it to the fourth generation. Like that carry on, it's hard work, it's weekends, it's evenings. Margins can be very narrow. The restaurant industry, especially pizza, is the most competitive of any type of food-based businesses. So a lot of these places have owners that are in their 50s or 60s getting ready to retire, and they don't have that family member or somebody that cares as much of the business as they do that wants to carry it on. So it is something that I think we need to really respect and preserve and appreciate and make that extra effort to support these local businesses.
Is a Donato's or a Massey's big enough that they can carry the load for the smaller places? Because
yeah.
Donato's is a chain for, yeah. you know, right? But can it take Columbus-style pizza bigger?
Well, I think it has in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I have wonderful company. It goes back to 1963. Family does so much to support this community in many ways. They're just a great, very principled business that really follows through its values. So I think today Donato's has somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 locations, and they're also partnered with Red Robin, so they actually have almost national exposure for their
yeah.
pizzas going through
those
restaurants.
I have family in Pittsburgh that said they were eating Donato's yeah. pizza, and I was like, where? And they said a Red Robin.
Right.
yeah.
Massey's is smaller, around 12-ish locations, most of them in Central Ohio. There's one in South Carolina, I believe. So.
Oh, only 12. I thought there were more. Okay.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
But
okay.
under 20, for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely have a strong presence, but they're not as densely spread around Columbus, right? So like
yeah.
a lot of people have heard of Massey's, but they've never been one because there's not one nearby.
I see.
Both businesses are great. Donato's, I would describe it in a recent interview as the Bud Light of Columbus-style pizza, right? So like it's accessible to everyone. It is consistent, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to make a pizza consistent. That was Jim Grody's dream. He knew that he did not want to expand past one location if you couldn't make sure that every pizza you had was always the same and always consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of things to get that consistency, and Donato's does it great, but you lose a little bit of that kind of local pizzeria connection, the little inconsistencies that come, those little like air pockets and things like that. So like Donato's a lot of respect for him, but it's not quite the full Columbus style experience outside of the city.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. We count on listeners for the most important part of our budget. We rely on listener support to bring you great programs every day. Make a gift right now at WOSU.org, or you can call us 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Sherry Asbell from Grove City, and also Willard and Elizabeth Blind from Lancaster. Thank you so much for your gifts today. Take a bite out of Columbus history with a WOSU pizza package. Enjoy a gift card for two to an Italian Village pizza tour from Columbus Food Adventures. This tour is led by an expert guide. It'll take you to several pizza places in Italian Village and the Short North. You'll try lots of styles of pizza, Neapolitan, Detroit, New York style pizza. Plus, if you pick this pizza package as your thank you gift, you'll also get the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History, by Jim Ellison. This is 160 pages that looks at how local pizza evolved from the 1930s to today. Start your gift of $15 a month right now, and you can get the pizza package. And this is a great time to support public radio. It's no secret that public radio has had some changes in the way we are funded, but we are still here. We are still here thanks to listener support. So if you listen to All Sides every day, then this is the perfect day to support the show. The team at All Sides works hard to bring you a diverse range of topics. We cover the news of the day. We cover long-term trends. We take on national issues with a local perspective. We are here for you, a daily local talk show. If that's important to you, now is the time to act and make a gift and support this show. And you can get some great pizza-related thank you gifts when you give today at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you quickly to Donnie Austin from Worthington. He writes, "We love Columbus Pizza. Our business, Aardvark Wine and Beer, is thankfully just across the street from JT's." And he also adds, "Jim is awesome."
Yep.
So they're a friend of yours. Thank you, Donnie, for your gift of support. We appreciate that. What is when he says he's across the street from JT's, I don't know that one. What's that?
So in the Lindworth area, 161, mm-hmm. so that kind of western edge of Worthington. Donnie's great person. The love is both ways there. Also a wine guy. I've had many alcohol and pizza adventure with him over the years. JT's Pizza is really highly respected here in Columbus. One of the most, when you look at like the top 10 or their favorite
lists. I'm sorry, I don't know it here. I'm writing
come
it
up
down.
All the time.
Try JT's.
Has come up consistently. It's really since it opened.
Okay.
They recently opened another second location in the Grandview area. So okay. Very good, great bar pizza. What I really like about JT's is they do a monthly special that's a little exotic. So like a pad thai pizza, things like that.
Oh.
So, but Donnie is probably the greatest JT's fan on this planet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then, and Donnie apparently is a public radio fan too, and we appreciate that. You can join Donnie and make your gift today, 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. A March article in Eater magazine was titled, Columbus is Among America's Great Pizza Cities. And it quotes you. It talks about how Columbus pizza is more affordable than its bigger city counterparts at roughly $20 a pie compared to, you know, $30 in New York City or L.A. So the price can go up and down depending on how many toppings you get on it, obviously. But is that true? Is Columbus pizza priced really well?
Everybody's going to feel that it's too expensive. That's the nature of our economy right now. But when we look at other large metropolitan cities, it is generally priced lower. Mm. So it is a good value. Pizza in general is a great value, right? It's something you can share. It's a family meal.
Yeah.
You don't have to need a lot of things to go with it. You can eat it with your hands. You don't need plates if you want to be a savage like me. But it is less expensive here. Again, most of our pizzeria owners in Columbus are independent operators, mm-hmm. right? Not large chains. And they're very focused on price because they recognize if my pizza goes up a dollar, I'm probably going to lose some customers to the competitors, right? So they really work very hard. Again, we're talking narrow margins in the business of like being very cost conscious and trying to make sure that their food, their pizza is a good value for their customers.
Now, if like a place like a Pizza Hut. I'm sorry to mention these. Hut, a Domino's, even like a Romeo's Pizza. Mm-hmm. Will they square cut it for you if you live in Columbus only here?
It depends on the chain. Mm-hmm. But even when you're doing online ordering, you will see this in the apps where you have that option to get it tavern cut or square cut. Usually listed as tavern cut. So that is an option at some places. Vice versa, if you are so offended by the square or what we call center cut for the rectangles, many places will allow you to have it in triangle slices instead of the squares.
Now, when I moved here, which is 20 years ago now, but I had never seen a square cut pizza before, right? This was new to me. But then becoming a mom and having like kids with friends over, the square cut is awesome. Yeah. I mean, it is like the perfect size for little kid hands to eat the pizza properly.
Yeah.
I don't know who decided when to square cut it. Like, what do you know, the person who was like, let's do it differently?
Right. In all food history, it's always hard to say who was the first
or
where
did
it happen. So,
yeah.
But the lore strongly supports that the first square cut pizza was in Chicago, probably in the late 1940s. And it was as a bar snack, right? So you have somebody coming in after work, they're grabbing a beer, they're not quite ready for dinner, they have to head home. But like that little small square, make sure that everybody gets a little bit of pizza instead of just the big burly guys getting the gigantic slices, right? So like it's democracy in action is the square cut pizza.
Got it. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. We're talking all about pizza today with Jim Ellison, author of Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. And if you can give a gift of support right now, you'll be helping All Sides and 89.7 NPR News stay strong in the weeks and months to come. All Sides has been covering it all. You know that the news cycle can be relentless. You listen to NPR and WOSU to learn something new and understand what's happening in the world around you. Make a gift today. Show your support at WOSU.org. Thank you to Diana from Columbus. Thank you so much for your gift of support, Diana. The story of pizza in Columbus is one of tradition, innovation, and local pride. In the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History, Jim Ellison traces it all, from early pioneers to thin tavern-style slices the city is known for today. This book is a deep dive into a hometown favorite. You can get the book for $10 a month as a sustaining member. Get your very own copy. And remember that a monthly gift helps power local news and the programs and conversations you rely on. If $15 a month works into your budget, you could support the station and this show and explore one of Columbus's favorite foods on and off the plate. It's the WOSU Pizza Package, and it includes a gift card for two people to attend the Italian Village Pizza Tour with Columbus Food Adventures, along with the book that we were just talking about, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. So you get the book and you get the tour. The pizza tour starts in Italian Village, and it has several stops in the Short North as well. It's a walking tour. You will be able to select the date you want to go from the Columbus Food Adventures website after you make your gift to WOSU. So, be able to take the pizza tour. Get the book we're talking about this hour. Make a gift of $15 a month and support public radio. This is truly a win-win. Give at WOSU.org. In Chillicothe, there's an Italian-American restaurant known as, I think, is it La Vita? Do you know that one?
I've heard of it, but I've not visited it.
Okay. It posted on social media recently that it had to adjust its hours because it earned highest honors in an international pizza expo, mm-hmm. pizza challenge.
Yeah.
And it gained more followers, new customers. Mm-hmm. And its cheese pizza won 25th best cheese pizza in the world. I mean... If you're not familiar with it, we don't need to dig too deep into it. But what is it like to, like, how do you win best pizza in the world?
Oh, it's huge. So there is a Columbus connection to this. So the Columbus Pizza Expo, which was it was the Columbus pizza and ice cream show for many years, disappeared for about a decade, came back just this past year. But they have competitions with from pizzeria owners from all over the country and actually North America. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a regional competition. If you do well in that competition, you can advance to the Las Vegas competition, which is a big one. People that do well in that competition then go to Italy to compete for, like, best pizza in the world in different categories. Mm. So we have several award winners here in Columbus. Brad Rocco from Bexley Pizza Plus won this many years. When you get an award like this, when you get the press and the notoriety that comes with it, it drives people to your door. So
a pizza explosion.
Yeah. Vic St. John, who was on your show recently, right? He popped into Late Night Slice for a couple hot seconds, and the sauce that they have, their very special unicorn sauce.
Oh, you're talking about Love is Blind.
Yeah.
Love is Blind made Mikey's Late Night Slice sauce very popular.
A small little bit, you know, drives up sales quickly. Same thing for Brad. Mama Mimi's Pizza, which is a take and bake place here in Columbus, they won an award in Italy, also drove traffic to them. Rob Martinez is a famous TikTok food videographer, I suppose. Mm-hmm. He had an incredible video about TAT Restaurante here in Columbus just over a year ago. It went viral, over 1 million hits in a very short period of time, and it drove a lot of business to this restaurant that I love that's almost 100 years old.
Well, that's a good segue. So your book says the first slice of pizza was served in Columbus as early as 1934 at TAT Restaurante Della Famiglia. So that restaurant has an interesting history. Can you tell us how pizza gained a foothold there?
Yeah. First, we believe the first Italian restaurant in Columbus, or among the first.
Yeah.
It's the oldest restaurant in Columbus. It's going to hit 100 years in 2029. So let's hope they make it there, right?
Yeah.
They're great people. The first place that we know that served pizza, and we have documentation, we have a menu from 1934 that has pizza on there. So that's a big deal. Again, most food history is legend and lore and memory. We didn't have Instagram and blogs and stuff.
So you have to find an artifact, like an old menu.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have some research skills, so that helped. It's TAT. We should probably describe the name real quick because that throws people off. So... new immigrant family in Columbus trying to think of a catchy name for their restaurant. Italian food is still a little exotic at the time. So TAT was the Transcontinental Air Transport Company, which was the first coast-to-coast airline in the United States. It started in 1929. So it'd be kind of calling the restaurant TAT Restaurante would be the equivalent of, like, calling it the TikTok restaurant or the internet or the data center, like whatever, that hot topic thing. So... The airline owners popped in for some food a year or so later and said, hey, what's this with TAT? And the owner at the time said, oh, TAT stands for take any table. Right. So but there's a neat story. And I hope everybody goes to that restaurant. They have an incredible mural in the hallway of the restaurant by the office and bathrooms that tells the story of TAT restaurant. So I think they outlasted the airline. Mm-hmm. And I think that mural tells a story about that great bit of Columbus history and the restaurant's
origins.
I like
Take Any Table, too.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that it's hard for these restaurants to make it to the fourth generation. Mm-hmm. Are they on that generation of the family?
Yes, they are. The children are high school, I think early college, very much part of the East Side. The whole family is huge supporters of the East Side. But, you know, will they continue? It's hard work. It's evenings and weekends, especially when there's more than one voice in a business. It's hard to all go in the same direction. So I hope they continue. And there's other places that has not survived that transition. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some of those changes recently.
The first pizzeria in Columbus, you write, was Romeo's the 1950s.
Right. Not to be confused with the chain that's growing now.
That's what I was just going to say. So that's not the same as the chain of pizza. But you write that pizza was such a foreign world at the time that a local columnist in 1951 spelled it out phonetically for readers. Like he was writing pizza and he wrote Pete, like P-E-T-E, saw. Yeah. So people didn't know the word pizza?
No, it just wasn't common. Now, we had a decent-sized Italian-American community in the 1950s in Columbus. It was still small, like just segmented to certain small neighborhoods in Columbus. So Italian food was still kind of a novelty. Pizza definitely had not been heard of through most of the country at that time. So that was just a very thing that you really had to explain to people. And what I think helped with the spread of pizza and the growth in Columbus, because this really in the Midwest, this was one of the first cities that had any type of pizza presence, was teenagers. So that Romeo's location was located at the intersection of North Star and Fifth Avenue. So in between Upper Arlington and Grandview, growing communities close to two high schools, a pizza's cut into squares, right? So if you wanted to have rapid adaptation, that's your target market, right? Of teenagers that had this new concept of like spendable money and free time. So you pour your money together, you go to get a pizza that's novel, unique, interesting, something that's easy to share. So that helped fuel the growth.
So was the author worried that people wouldn't know how to say something with two Z's in it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. There's a fun video from like Canadian broadcasting in the 1950s that's similar. She's like, I want to show you this recipe for this interesting dish called pizza. And like, again, having to explain this novel thing. I mean, think about today. You know, when you look at the diversity of foods in Columbus now, like I'd have to pronounce certain Indian dishes that I love or Somali dishes, things like that. So it's just that education component.
Yeah. And the duo behind Romeo's is Jim Massey and Romeo, is it Surrey?
Surrey. And one of my challenges in researching the book is his name was often written as S-I-R-I instead of S-I-R-I-J. And when I finally added the J to it, it helped my research so much I could find the right person to talk to.
Okay, so Jimmy Massey, that name is familiar.
Yeah.
So Massey would go on to start with his brother, Massey's Pizza, in Whitehall.
Right.
I mean, is this the Massey's we know?
This is the Massey's that we know. Different owners now. So he sold to Guido Casa, who was a big kind of pizza presence in Columbus in 1963. And then he turned it over to his son Philip in 1971. And then he tried to grow the business. That didn't quite happen. They had some financial problems and his cousins wound up buying him from him. And those are the Pallones, who are the present owners today.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. You're running out of time to make a gift this hour. Support public radio at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Dan Roberts from Westerville. Thanks, Dan. We also heard from Julie Kennel from Columbus. Julie, thank you so much for giving, and say hi to Grant for me. You can make a gift right now and join Julie and join Dan, and you'll be supporting public radio. If you listen to All Sides every day, then you know this show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You hear from our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday. On Thursdays, you hear our segment called Fascinating Ohio, where we introduce you to neighbors from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. You hear facts straight from experts and newsmakers. We certainly have a pizza expert in the room today. You are learning a lot. You know it. Every time you listen to this show, you learn something new. So if you rely on that, make a gift at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Pizza lovers, this one's for you. You can get the WOSU pizza package. You'll get a gift card for two on an Italian Village pizza tour from Columbus Food Adventures. Plus, you'll get the book Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History by Jim Ellison. The book will teach you how decades of innovation made Columbus a pizza destination. And the tour from Columbus Food Adventures is a walking tour in Italian Village and the Short North. You'll start in Italian Village, the origin of some of the most well-known names in pizza in Columbus today, and then you'll head to the Short North and enjoy several local independent pizza places. You could get the pizza package at $15 a month as a sustainer, or you can get the book by itself at $10 a month as a sustainer. The book at 10, the book plus the tour at 15. Pick the thank you gift that works for you. Support public radio right now. And remember, this book, Columbus Pizza, Slice of History, shares the people, places, and stories behind it all. From neighborhood parlors to a nationally recognized style of pizza, Columbus has built a pizza legacy. And Jim Ellison shares the stories of the people, places, and stories behind it in this book that is a tribute to a city favorite. Get the book for $10 a month right now. Support public radio, 866-897-9678.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, were there, we were talking about Massey's. So Massey's would go on to start with his brother. So Massey's Pizza in Whitehall, which continues today. The longevity of some of these early pizzerias is impressive, right?
Yeah.
Were those the first pizzas? Like, were they basic like today? Back then, was it red sauce and cheese and pepperoni?
Yeah. In my book, I have this chapter. It's called The Pioneers of Pizza. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned some of those. So Tommy's is in there, 1952. Leonardo's, which isn't with us anymore, 1953. So in 1950, when Romeo's first opened, the pizza that they were making is not the Columbus-style pizza that mm-hmm. you experience today. But I'd say definitely by 1951, with this evolution, with these people comparing notes, and with Richie DiPaolo, who was a very important person as a food supplier, influencing what Columbus-style pizza would be, especially the presence of provolone, it morphed into a style fairly quickly, probably around 1951, 1952, of having all the elements that I listed earlier in the show.
Okay. And then tell me a little bit about like adding these toppings. So when did pepperoni become the thing?
Do you know? Columbus, yeah. Early 1950s, nationally, 1970s was really when pepperoni really surged. And a big part of it, I should mention, nationwide, pizzerias, even in New York City, highly respect locally made Izzo sausage company pepperoni. So they started in Columbus 1978. And a neat thing about them is the pizzeria operators in Columbus didn't really like the pepperoni that was available to them. Mm. So Izzo said, hey, we're a new business. Let's kind of make a pepperoni that meets the unique needs that your pizzeria has. So they really custom made it based on the preferences of what the owners wanted in the city.
So and a sausage company dived into pepperoni.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes sense. They're a state-of-the-art company. They're incredible. So it's a real, it's a superpower of Columbus. And even in New York City, they will proudly just say, we serve Izzo pepperoni. So I think that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Yeah. What about this pepperoni competition on how many pieces of pepperoni you can fit on a pizza? What's the deal with that?
Don't know the origins of that, but that has always been a point of pride for Massey's, even in the 1950s. It's like, we're going to cover it with pepperoni. Jimmy Massey, I think, just had an affliction for pepperoni, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they've often been at like 100, 150, 155 slices of pepperoni on their pizza. Same for Donato's. That's a point of pride for them. Part of their marketing campaign for many years, too.
Are they the edge-to-edge ones?
Edge-to-edge, yeah. Okay. Which there was a lawsuit with Pizza Hut related to that because they had a pizza called The Edge. So
Pizza Hut stole their edge.
Yes, exactly. they were trying to do a tavern-style pizza nationwide. They called it The Edge. Donato said, we have some issue with that because this has been, again, a trademark of our pizza that we make for many, many years. So, again, pizza can be polarizing and contentious.
Who is the every piece is important pizza?
That is Donato's.
That's Donato's, yeah. Too? Oh, look at Donato's. Their marketing is stuck in my head.
Yeah.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. And we're talking all about pizza today with Jim Ellison, author of Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. This pizza tour I'm talking about through Columbus Food Adventures, that's a thank you gift today to get gift cards to it. The tour, in Italian Village, I was saying, you know, this, like, there's pizza history in Italian Village. What does that refer to?
Well, Italian Village is where the original TAT was. Yeah. Well, okay. Actually in the Short North area, which was known as Flytown at the time. Mm. We have a large Italian community in both areas since the early 1900s, 1910, 1920s. I'm not sure with the current configuration of pizzerias that they have on the tour. That's an evolving thing.
Yeah.
I know the owners well. I used to run a tour company with them and did a pizza tour as well. But I know it's a great tour. Our guide training when we ran the company together was intense. And so you're not just learning about the businesses, you're learning about pizza styles, but you're also learning about the neighborhood and history to it. So good value, but so much restaurant food history in that area that you'll get it as part of that tour.
And let's talk a little bit more about Donato's. It's Jim Grody,
yeah,
is that right?
Correct.
Jim Grody, a well-known story because he started working at a pizza shop at the age of 13. He bought his own shop in 1963 for just $1,300 and kept the name. It's Latin for to give a good thing, right?
Correct.
So how would you assess his contributions to the Columbus pizza history? So the name Donato's is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
So many things. So a little backtrack on that story. So he loved pizza from an early teenage experience, like had a great love making pizza, love serving people. He had the opportunity to buy that pizzeria or a pizzeria before he graduated from high school.
Oh.
So he talked to his dad like, "Dad, if you could just help me put $500 together, I can own my own business before I graduate high school. This will be great." And his dad said, "Hey, Jim, this pizza thing's a fad. Like, it's not really going to last. Like, I'm not going to loan you the money. You know, keep working there if you want to, but graduate high school, go to college, do something with your life."
Yeah.
So sophomore at Ohio State, he had that opportunity again, and he put the money together and bought the business. So great. But as far as Jim goes, great person, very principled business owner. But what he really brought to pizza, and this is not just what you experience in pizzerias, but in frozen pizzas and everything across the board, is his obsession with consistency. And that led him to design what's called the Pep-O-Matic, which was the first kind of mechanical pepperoni slicer. And when you look at like the labor intensive of slicing pepperonis by hand, which is very hard, this thing would slice it for you in a few seconds. And then all types of other innovations related to pizza, both in the pizzeria restaurants, specific type of oven techniques, weighing like each pizza so it's exactly the same amount of ingredients for every pizza that they serve. So the technology company that he started that was pizza focused has been gigantic to not just helping Donato's grow, but helping all types of businesses be more efficient and make a better product.
What is the story he tells about why he kept the name Donato's? I mean, we could be talking about a chain of 250 Grody's pizzas,
yeah,
right?
Well, and that's exactly it. And he was given that advice as a young business owner. It's like, yeah, Grody pizza's probably not going to go that well. But also think of other
Grody
reasons for that,
okay,
too. Yeah, Grody pizza. And that when I was growing up, that was a term, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really used today. But Grody pizza, not a thing. Other things that factored into that, too, like, if it's a pizzeria, you want an Italian-sounding name, right? So Donato's, that sounds very Italian.
Yeah, sure.
But another thing to factor in, too, old-school marketing for pizzerias was the Yellow Pages. And you want a name that's higher up alphabetically in that list to help people find you easier. So D's going to be higher than G, for sure.
Got it. You interviewed a lot of key players in Columbus Pizza's story to put your book together. Tell me someone who really stood out to you that we haven't mentioned yet.
Oh, my goodness. I mentioned to you before the show, I had a hard time getting people to talk to me, which was unusual in the world of food writing. Many great conversations, especially with the current owners of Massey's and Rich Folk, who works for them. But I think the most interesting to me was Jimmy Carova, who's passed away in 2021. He was the owner of TAT for many years. But like he was always generous with his time. He had great stories, not just about his restaurant, but all these pizzeria owners that he grew up with on the East Side, all the adventures that they had together, the way they supported each other and helped them grow their businesses. They rose up together, literally. Such an inspiring person. He had some great stories that I couldn't put in the book about some interesting interactions with possible mob folks related to a sandwich that he made, but a great, great storyteller, wonderful person. And when he passed away, he got sick just before COVID. He lived and breathed that restaurant. He couldn't make it back into the restaurant before the restrictions lifted and he could safely get back there. So when he passed away, he was beloved by the community. So this gigantic motorcade taking him to the cemetery filled with police cars and fire trucks, but they made sure that the procession went by the restaurant on the way back to the cemetery. I love that story.
Yeah, so he could see it one last time. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is public radio. Support the news and information you trust every day. We bring you trusted news, thoughtful programs, local stories that matter. And it's the consistent support from listeners like you that make the real impact. Start your sustaining gift today. And you're running out of time to take advantage of our thank you gifts this hour. We have about 15 minutes remaining in the hour. We'd love to hear from 10 more people before the hour ends. You can be one of those 10. Make this hour a great success. Show your support for public radio and get a great pizza thank you gift in return. Step into the rich pizza history of Columbus with the book Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History by Jim Ellison. From the first pies served in the 1930s to a citywide style that was shaped by local legends, this book captures it all. Get yours when you support WOSU at $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Without listener support, the local coverage and trusted programs you count on from WOSU would be at risk. A monthly gift helps protect what matters the most. Start your sustaining gift today at WOSU.org. The WOSU Pizza Package pairs experience with history. Enjoy a pizza tour for two, which is through Columbus Food Adventures. You'll take a walking tour through Italian Village in the Short North. You'll get to pick the date of your tour. And then you'll dive into the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. It's a story that begins in the 1930s and continues today. Get the tour and the book for a gift of $15 a month right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Chelsea Craig from Columbus. Thanks, Chelsea, for your gift of support. So 9 more to go this hour to meet this little mini goal. You can make this membership drive a great success when you join us today. And you can get a great thank you gift as well. WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. In your book, you write that half of the pizza places in town are either national or regional chains. Is that still the case?
Still the case, but Columbus is doing better than most other cities.
Okay.
Nationally, we look at the rise of Pizza Hut, Domino's, places like that. Most cities are at the 70-80% range or more of commercially owned chain pizzerias. So Columbus has historically always had more independently operated pizzerias, which I think is great and wonderful, an important part of the character of the city.
And how much have mom and pop shops contributed to the local pizza scene? I mean, you know, we talked about Donato's and Massey's, which have more than one location, but what about the like one-off mom and pop shops?
Oh, so many. I think one, and this is another thing that I am sometimes concerned about with folks, is these neighborhood pizzerias typically just have the reach of a few blocks, right?
Yeah.
And they really require, like public radio, is the support of the people in the neighborhoods, right? So as Columbus has become more of a city of transplants and people kind of in transit all the time, you lose that loyalty to your local pizzeria that only you kind of know about, right? People don't know outside of the range. But a neat thing that we mentioned this before, is when there's like a best of Columbus and a certain place that you've never heard of is mentioned, is that will drive traffic to that pizzeria, which I think is wonderful. So Tarita's is a neat place. They're in the Linden area. I didn't know about it till I started writing the book, and it was really just 2 miles from where I live.
Wow.
So they frequently come up on best of lists all the time. It is definitely a hard to find destination, very nondescript on the outside. But when we get those little bursts of energy and attention, it makes a big deal to these businesses to keep them thriving. And again, it's a source of what I would hope to be civic pride.
Yeah.
Right. When something gets national press, when a place that you've never heard of, you go and experience and have this great, wonderful food experience. I think that's important.
And tell me about how with like delivery, because some of these places, TAT, you have to go sit down at the restaurant.
Right.
So talk to me about the idea of pizza delivery versus going to the place.
It is huge. And I had a very long conversation about the pros and cons, especially third party delivery services. Right.
Yeah.
Because that takes your connection away from the business. Some places still maintain their own delivery drivers. That's hard to do as far as staffing, gas, costs, things like that. So that used to be pretty much the model for pizzerias in the city. That's changed. Very few places do it themselves anymore. So they're relying on third-party vendors to do it for them. So there's some pluses there. So the owner I talked about said, like, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. This definitely hurts my profit margin significantly, but because they have a longer range, I don't have to wait for that driver to get back to my restaurant to go on the next delivery. I can expand the range of people that I can get my food to.
Grab another
driver.
Right,
so I can grab a potential new customer by letting somebody else do it. But again, you lose that connection to your customer. And I think this is why I worry about the future of Columbus-style pizza. When we aren't connecting with those owners, when we're not walking through the door, having that eye contact or that quick conversation about, hey, how's your son doing? How's the baseball team doing? We're losing this connection to the businesses with these third-party delivery services.
Let's talk a little bit about rising food costs, too. Have you been hearing about that? I mean, does the stuff they need to make the pizza cost more?
Absolutely. And the biggest thing recently is cheese. Cheese used to be a very flat price. There's basically commodities markets that affect the price of cheese, right? So it goes up, it goes down. It's largely been going up for the last 5 years, and especially more kind of higher end, better quality ingredient cheeses like smoked provolone that's used on Columbus-style pizza. So that is trending up. But again, independent owners are terrified of raising their prices, right? And when a price fluctuates, it's hard to factor that into your food costs. You want a menu that's like $15 today, but it's going to be $17 two weeks from now. So a lot of things that factor into having a consistent price for customers, but also having an effective, profitable business.
We are asking you to give today and support public radio. This is our membership drive. We have 10 minutes remaining in the hour. We're looking to hear from 9 more people right now. Make this hour a great success. And pizza is a part of the Columbus identity. The book Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History tells that story. Author Jim Ellison explores decades of innovation from the 1930s to the rise of the cities as a pizza destination. And in this book, it's celebrating a local classic. Start your gift of $10 a month right now, and you'll get your very own copy of this book. If you can increase to $15 a month, you could get the WOSU Pizza Package that brings the pizza experience to life. You'll get a gift card to Columbus Food Adventures, good for 2 people to enjoy an Italian village pizza tour. And you'll get a copy of the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. So discover how a century of local tradition helped shape Columbus into a pizza capital. For the pizza tour, you'll take a walking tour of Italian Village in the Short North. You'll start in Italian Village, the origin of some well-known names in pizza. You'll head to the Short North and enjoy several local places that are independent pizza places, and you'll be led by an expert guide. So get the gift card from Columbus Food Adventures for the pizza tour. Get a copy of the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History, for $15 a month right now, or a one-time gift of $180. And if you've been giving for a while at $10 a month, this is a great time to increase your gift up to $15 a month. You could get this thank you gift package, and you'll show a little extra support for WOSU. If you've been listening more recently, if you've been spending more time with your radio trying to understand what's going on in the world, then we're asking you to make a small additional gift right now. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Your book also tells the story of a drink concoction known as pizza whiskey. Is that a thing? That's a thing.
It was a thing. That was from 451 Spirits, which was in Clintonville but is no longer with us. Chad Kessler, who is a alcohol savant in many ways, created that using Mikey's late night slices as part of his base or kind of inspiration for it. I don't know if it still exists out in the wild. Chad was doing some things with Echo Spirits, which is another distillery in town for a while. So I don't know its current status, but it was a thing. And I actually, when I was running tours, that was one of my tour stops. And even though that might find scary and intimidating and maybe like a little revolting to some people, it was actually very good.
Well, tell me about a place like Mikey's. They don't do the Columbus square cut pizza.
Correct.
I mean, their slices are huge, and that's, you know, that's what they're known for. So tell me about that. So you can be a Columbus pizza place and not do Columbus style pizza.
Absolutely. And Columbus style pizza is the minority in the city for sure. Again, and it's shrinking year by year. But I think that's the great strength of Columbus is you can find pretty much any of the major styles in this city, including a harder to find style, which is Dover style pizza.
Oh, I haven't heard of that. What's that?
Upper Northeast Ohio. It's mainly famous for it uses Colby cheese and it's thicker.
Oh.
There is one place in town that does it on Fifth Avenue, and I'm blanking on the name at this particular moment. But yeah, so Chicago Deep Dish you can find in Columbus. Meister's does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
New York style, there's several places that do it at a high level, including Polly G's, which is originally started in New York, and it was the first like branch location of the Polly G's pizza empire.
Oh.
So yeah, there's all incredible styles you can get in the city, including now, especially kind of in our Sawmill Road area, several places that are doing kind of more Middle Eastern and styled pizzas with flavors and things like that. So much diversity in the city.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. You're running out of time to make your gift. 6 minutes remaining in the hour. We'd love to hear from you. The first gift we have was the book written by our guest today for nearly a century. Columbus has been serving up pizza by the tray and by the slice. In Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History, author Jim Ellison tells the story of the city's signature style and its roots in the 1930s to its rise as a national standout. This 160-page book is full of local flavor and local history. Get yours for $10 a month. The second gift we have is that you get the book, plus the opportunity to take a special pizza tour. Your WOSU pizza package brings the pizza experience to life. You'll receive a gift card to Columbus Food Adventures, good for two on an Italian Village pizza tour. And you'll get a copy of the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. Discover how a century of local tradition has shaped Columbus into a pizza capital. And on the pizza tour, you'll walk through Italian Village in the Short North. You'll eat some great pizza. You'll be led by an expert guide. So get the gift card to the pizza tour and get a copy of the book Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History for $15 a month right now. Thank you to Michael Conley from Columbus. And we also heard from Samuel Zarcone in Bucyrus. Thank you so much, Samuel and Michael. Seven more to go this hour. We can meet our goal in the next 5 minutes when we hear from you. You'll also be supporting public radio. A lot of people choose to give monthly so that the service stays strong and reliable. When you join them as a sustainer, you can be a part of what makes this all possible. Start your gift today at WOSU.org. So I wanted to, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about the cover. So if people go to our website, they can see a picture of the book. And the pizza on the cover looks amazing. Tell me about that picture.
That is from Bexley Pizza Plus, started in Columbus around 1982. Brad Rocco actually made that pizza for me after he had won one of those pizza competitions.
Oh.
And so that was one of my favorite photos. I think it really, like, epitomizes what I envision a Columbus-style pizza to look like. Again, dense toppings, lots of pepperoni, et cetera. And I really wanted that to be on the cover of the book.
Edge to edge and the square cut.
It has all the pieces.
I want to say thank you to Karen Johnson from Columbus. We have six more to go this hour. We can meet our goal when we hear from you. Thank you for supporting WOSU, 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. We are running out of time, but is there any pizza place that you, I don't want to make you like choose your favorite child or anything like that, but is there any pizza place you wanted to bring up? Well, you don't have to say it's your favorite, yeah. But.
It is a dangerous thing to say what your favorite place is, for sure. So I will throw out several that I really like a lot. Okay. So I grew up in Clintonville, spent most of my life there. Dante's Pizza was the first that I ever had. Villanova is a mainstay for my family. I've been going to it all my life. They have an incredible taco pizza that I just love. Mm. Tommy's Pizza, I didn't grow up on. It's an institution in Upper Arlington. I moved there 6 years ago. We probably have Tommy's almost once a week.
Okay.
Adriatico's, big part of OSU culture. Love it. And then Tarita's, I mentioned before, there's a lot of these little niche places that no one's ever heard of that I really get excited when I hear somebody give it a try, make that little extra effort to get it and explore it and just enjoy it and appreciate things for what they are.
And Adriatico's, that's the thick pizza.
They do a Sicilian, which is a thicker style pizza.
But it's cut in squares, right?
It's cut in squares. Yeah, it's Sicilian.
Yeah.
And then they also have their version of kind of like a thinner crust, New York style without the crust ring. So they have two types there. Actually, they have a thinner crust as well that I've only tried once. But they have all types of pizza. And their Buckeye, which is this gigantic, like 12 by 24, like massive box of pizza, kept me alive when I was a student at Ohio State, for sure.
You're listening to All Sides. This is our membership drive. We're down to just a couple minutes remaining. Remember that listeners are the most important part of our budget. We rely on listeners to bring you great programs every day. Take a bite out of Columbus history with a Columbus pizza package. Enjoy a gift card for two to an Italian Village pizza tour. This is through Columbus Food Adventures. The tour will be led by an expert guide, and you'll visit several pizza places in Italian Village and the Short North. Plus, in your pizza package, you'll also get the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History by Jim Ellison. This is a book that looks at how pizza evolved from the 1930s to today here in Columbus. $15 a month as a sustainer, a one-time gift of $180. Get this gift today at WOSU.org. We have been talking about pizza today with Jim Ellison, author of the book, Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for supporting pizza.
Yes, we're supporting pizza and public radio
right,
at the same time.
Great combo.
How many P's can we fit in here? It's a pizza package from public radio, right?
Well done.
Yes, 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. This is a great time to support public radio. If you listen to All Sides every day, today is a perfect day to support the show. The team at All Sides works hard to cover a diverse range of topics. We cover the news of the day and long-term trends. And then it's important to take a break from the news. It's important to talk about pizza. If you've been enjoying this show, then you can get one of our thank you gifts this hour and help make this hour a great success. This is listener-supported WOSU FM and HD1 Columbus, online at WOSU.org. And you can get the book we've been talking about all hour for $10 a month as a sustaining member. For $15 a month, you can go on a Columbus Food Adventures pizza tour and also get the book Columbus Pizza, A Slice of History. $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 when you give now. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Don't wait. Give now. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Thank you for listening and thanks for your support.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.